pizza chili cheese fries, filthy pirate hookers, and he was 5'9" and could dunk with two hands. That's right. Well, no. You know that's right. It is the season 4 review of this podcast, and it starts right about now.
I've heard it both ways.
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 And welcome back to I've Heard It Both Ways. I'm your friendly neighborhood backcracker, Dr. Joe, riding in the blueberry with me, as always, is my partner in crime, DJ Roast Beef. And also joining us for the ride today is our good pal, Jake the Snake. Jake, how's it going?
Gentlemen, what is good? How are we?
Yeah, well, Jesus, here we are again, right? Season 4. We are officially halfway through Psych. How are we feeling, boys?
I feel fantastic. This was, I think, the start of the Psych Renaissance, maybe. I don't know. I mean, this is when they had a lot of episodes that kind of were pinnacle Psych. I think you get one or two in season 1, a bunch in 2, a lot in 3. But this was, I mean, the Mount Rushmore of our list here is some heavy fucking hitters.
Yeah, this is, you know, very solid start to finish with some heavy hitters. I was breaking down and ranking the episodes last night with my wife, we were looking at it, and then she just starts looking to next season. My wife. And she's looking at season 5, and she goes, the more I think about it, season 5 might be the GOAT season for the show. And she might be right, because we started, as I was making my list, I was watching Romeo, Juliet, and Julia, whatever the name of the episode is. And that episode is so fucking good. It's another example of Psych just fucking kicking it into high gear right from the rip.
Mushu.
Yeah, Mushu. It's Kung Fu. Say Mushu, Sean. It's more authentic.
You played the card wrong. I doubled down, though. Well, we're here to talk about season 4. Jake, what were your thoughts on the season?
It's a really damn good season. When I rewatched season 3, I remember not liking it as much as I remembered. It was still really good, but I thought it was one of the elite seasons. And it's a very good season. And then I rewatched season 4, and I was like, all right, this is just as good as I remember it being. Like, this is kind of like what Billy said. It's kind of the start, really, of where we get some real, like, just heavy hitters one after another. I mean, ranking my list, there were only 3 that I was confident putting in, like, the bottom tier. The others, like, even, like, 12, 13, like, those are still really good episodes. Like, it barely missed this season. So they really produced this time.
Yeah, there's a lot of episodes that are right in the meaty part of the curve. There's 2, for me, outliers of get that corn out of my face episodes, and then the Mount Rushmore for me, the top 4, even the top 5 really are like, boom, the real best of the season. And then everything else is like, they're really fucking good. They're funny episodes. They're iconic episodes. And I think that just speaks to, you know, how good the show is, how good this season is, and where things, you know, kick off from here. So, you know, for me, I thought the season started off really strong with extradition British Columbia. Mm-hmm. Then we had kind of a clunker. And then we just had a fucking solid run of episodes until we get into the back half of the season, which really was some of its strongest stuff.
Yeah. And just to put you in the time period, this was August 7th of 2009 to March 10th of 2010. It was 16 episodes, and I'll just rattle them off real quick. Started with Extradition, British Columbia, He Dead, High Noon, The Devil, In the Details, and The Bedroom Upstairs, Sean Gets the Yips, Bollywood Homicide. That was not a strong
Homicide.
Homicide. Homicide, High Top Fade Out. I haven't even, like, started my drink yet either. High Top Fade Out, Let's Get Hairy, which is criminally underrated by you jerks. Sean Takes a Shot in the Dark. You Can't Handle This Episode, Thrill Seekers and Hellraisers, A Very Julia Episode, Death Is in the Air and in My Throat, Think Tank, The Head, The Tails, The Whole Damn Episode, and then finally, the season finale, and one of the best episodes ever, Mr. Ian Presents.
I just want to make a quick note here, and I'll get into this later. for a show that is for maybe the best season of the show, maybe a top two season of the show, not great episode titles this season.
Like, yeah, a couple long ones.
And there's that.
Silly ones.
I'll get into it later, but just the title Think Tank, like, that's so unoriginal for them.
Yeah, True Liars was like the season before. Talk Derby to Me. Not a lot of wordplay. Yeah. I do love Let's Get Hairy for a lot of reasons.
It's like when you have it's like Sugar We're Going Down for Fall Out Boy, and the other titles are like 10 words long. And you have
it's not a scene, it's an arms
and
race.
And then you have like the 10 word titles, but we can get into it later. But that was something that stood out to me. It was like the imbalance between the episode title names, but how good they ended up being anyway. Mm.
So we've kind of touched on it a bit. You know, the season, you know, started off kind of strong. But, I mean, I think it's how this season ends that is its strong point. Like I said, there's a lot of really good episodes in the middle there. But you just rattle them all, you know, you just rattle them all off, Billy. And I remember, I think some of the most fun we've had and some of the best shows that we've had doing this podcast have been these last several episodes of this season, because there's just been so much in them, and we've just been able to just we're starting to get to the point now. I know Billy is able to just, you know, riff on this show regardless, but we're really starting to get into my comfort zone.
Your
with
Q
this
zone.
Show. My T zone.
You're really getting in your Q zone.
We're getting into my spot. We're getting into the doc spot. Here, that's different podcast for a different day, but we're starting to get into that area where now
the
these shows
podcast
it is right. there's no testicular torsion here, where the episodes I really know off the top of my head, like the scenes become more iconic, the one-liners become a lot more memorable, and I think we're getting into season five here, which is definitely my favorite season. And but this, the way this ends and the next one begins, it's some of the best stuff you're gonna find on TV.
Yeah, I mean, this season is really like I mean we've talked about it at length here, but just looking at like it in quarters, the first four episodes classic are two, second four, two of my favorites in there, third four, meh, and then the final four are legit all good.
Yeah.
So they finished really strong, and you could see the momentum that they carried into season five from this season. I think everybody kind of found their footing. They added Woody, which we'll get to. It was really overall one of those seasons that kind of, you know, Seinfeld says breaking up is like rocking a Coke machine back and forth, and it goes over. One, two, and three kind of rocked it back and forth, and at the end of the season four, they tip it over into total psychness. And from here on out, it's, you know, it is not the kind of depravity, like cynical Arrested Development jokes, but it's that level of just everything is
quick. And you mentioned something just a second ago, Billy, where you talked about like all the characters have found their footing, which it's true, but it's also there's something unique that happens in this season that's unlike any other season of Psych. And that'll sort of lead us into our next little segue here to which character grew the most. And we all had a consensus here. And this was funny because this season really was all about Sean. The guests, they had a lot of guest actors and actresses in this season, and they all shined in one way or the other. But we didn't get a lot of Gus. We didn't get a lot of Henry. We didn't get a lot of Chief Vic. Lassie was Lassie. Even Jules was muted.
A little bit.
Well, she got her own episode. But outside of that, Jules was definitely, you know, tempered down a little bit. So this season to me was all about Sean.
Yeah, it was a lot about Sean's, grew the most. It was about his growth. I mean, he had Abigail, who I'd like to just reiterate in case we don't get to her again down the line, a very bad character, not written well, and just not interesting.
But easy on the eyes.
Right. but
she's all meh.
Right. She's also not a good character. One of the worst names in television history. So there's that.
Oh, but, terrible name.
Sean was able to develop because we meet Sean. He's a womanizer. He doesn't really commit to anybody. And Abigail really gets him questioning that to the point where, you know, he doesn't want to go to Uganda, but he doesn't want to break off the relationship either. And then we see in the finale that he still wants to keep it going, and it's Abigail that ends up breaking up the relationship. So we see that growth in him. And well, I'll save another comment on that for later. You guys know what I'm talking about.
But, so this is, I think, what Mrs. Dr. Joe Gilmore talks about a little bit, too. We get a little bit of a thicker Sean towards the end of the season, and that rounds into a funnier shape for most of us. And hey, Jake makes
like,
a great...
Yeah, it's like fat Chris Pratt. We need chubbier Sean.
And
that's right.
That's a great point about his relationship with Abigail, because they kind of curtail the too cool for school Sean, which I think is what makes this show so great, is they slowly evolved his character into making fun of Gus for going to like a Comic-Con. Oh, you're calling it the con. And now he's kind of in on all of the goofy action because, you know, not to go too much Parks and Rec here, but, you know, nerd culture is actually popular. So if you're not into it, you're the one who's out of the zeitgeist right now. So they kind of make a slow...
Treat yourself.
Exactly. They make a slow transition of Sean's character, build him up, character enrichment, like the episode of Chips where Ponch has to like deal with the little kittens, call back to season two for psych there. But this is one of those seasons where I think they tried to make James Rhodey even more of a star, because he got a lot of early press for how good he was in the first three seasons. But I would say this is his first like standout spotlight season.
Yeah, because this really is the transition from too cool for school Sean to Sean, right? And we really see that in season 5, episode 1, where he's doing the karate, he's doing the mushu, he's a little thicker, right?
But are you calling it mushu, by the way?
What?
Are you calling mushu? It mushu like the chicken?
Yeah.
I thought it's mushu.
Yeah, mushu. Yeah, right? Whatever, you know, and we really see that, because from season 5 on, that's the Sean that we get. Like, so it's funny.
Well,
because,
there's
like,
two Seans. There's everyday Sean and then there's Malibu Sean. But yeah,
right. But you know what I mean? Like, he's found that next level, and the character just it's all in at this point. And the silliness and the goop, the too cool for school Sean doesn't like ceases to exist. You know, at some point through this season going on, and it kicks into high gear. So, I mean, he definitely grew the most, but he was also featured the most. He really was the star of the season. So with that said, this is wild. We have a consensus here, boys.
Yeah.
We have a consensus here for you know, overall rating of the season. Billy, what do we got here?
Seven. It is solid. I think I do like a few other seasons more to this, so I kind of had to gauge that. If this was the last season of Psych, it probably would be an 8. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where they kind of surpass themselves. I'm a huge fan of season 8. I don't know if I would give it an 8 itself, but this season, like we said, it doesn't include everybody as much as usual. We have the high top fade out for Gus. We have a very Juliet episode. We'll get into great depth on that one soon. And then it's just one of those seasons where it's great, but it's not the greatest, so you can't go full hard solid 8. But it's a stiff 7.
It's a 300 season, right? Like the episodes that drag it down a little bit don't drag it down a ton. It's like, I felt like when I was rating this, and I don't know how you felt, Jake, but like when I was looking, I was like, do I go 7.2, 7.3? It's like, no, 7 feels right. Cause I think a majority of those episodes that make up the meaty part of the curve are somewhere in that 6.8, 6.9, nice 7 range. Mm-hmm. And then like the episode, like Yang really sticks out to me. That's an 8. And then the other ones are more like 7.4. I could have maybe bumped it up a little bit, but I felt like 7 was the appropriate score for this season.
Yeah, I'd say 7. I mean, that's where I fell. Obviously, we all had the same answer or the same score. I was considering, because I don't do like quarter points. I was considering like a 6.5. I was considering it, but I was like, you know what? That's too contrarian. I'm just gonna go 7. Like, I for season 3, I leaned a little bit harsher than what I was really gonna intend to do. For this, I was like, you know what, why fight it? Like, it's a 7. It is, like, it's not perfect, but
right.
the bad quote unquote bad episodes aren't enough to drag it down that much, like you said, Doc. So
it's an MVP season, but it's like a top 10 MVP season. Right. It's a third team All NBA. It's a Malden 10.
Yeah, it's a Malden 10, baby. Yeah, 6.5. I would have been a little too low, but you know, if you had come in and said like 6.8 or 6.9,
I mean, if you tell somebody 6.5, they're like meh. You tell somebody 7, they're like, whoa, I could get the job done.
That's good. Right
there. Yeah. It's a Malden 10, which is a Boston 5.
That's like a Linfield 6.
Okay. Fucking Linfield. All right. So
nobody's from Boston.
Right.
Proper.
From Boston. I hate that fucking commercial.
Boston guy.
So with that, let's get into our awards here. We got a few here. And I love starting things off with this award because I fucking love Buzz. So we're going the Buzz Award, although maybe we should change it to the Mary Lightly Award.
Well, I would like to protest
or the Woody Award, you know.
Yeah, I mean, look,
I think we just have a best from here on out. We have to have the Woody Award, best Woody moment.
Right. Yeah, it makes sense.
So I consider I don't know if I consider Mary Lightly much of a side character. Like Woody to me is the preeminent side character because he comes into the episode for like 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Comes off. He's the Jamal Crawford. He comes off the bench, puts up like 15 points, and like
he's a microwave.
Right. He's Vinny Johnson, shall we say.
Instant offense.
But the show to me changes tone when he gets there.
Oh, 100%. A lot of the.
I mean, season five is Last Night Gus, right?
No, season six.
That's season six.
I mean, it's one of the best episodes of the show. Maybe the best.
Did you see a little Colombian with a hook for a hand?
And and Woody is very prominent in that episode. But anyway, I love the addition of Woody. I think the way he plays off of Sean, and it's a little touch and go at first because you don't have that relationship established yet. But the way he plays off Sean, it's like if Sean was a corner, pretty much. It's how.
Yeah. He just gets weirder and weirder and weirder, and it is phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal.
I love Woody. And I get where you're coming from with Mary Lightly. Mary Lightly's great. I didn't even think of Despero, which is embarrassing. But Mary Lightly, I got to give Miss Flowers at least, especially since you got to pour one out for him this season.
Pour one out. Yeah, I mean, I had to go, and I'm pretty sure I know why Billy went too, but like, he was so good, you know, in Mr. Yin Presents. Just give it, he gets it for the way he holds the fucking umbrella in that scene. But he recurs enough. Right,
see, that's the thing I think Jake brings up that's a salient point. I think he's a recurring guest star now that I think about it, and not a recurring side character.
Right, true. Yeah, it's semantics here, and I get what 100% because a side character, like Woody is a side character. Buzz
like Chief Vic would be a side character.
Chief Vic would be
a side character. But I also see your point of Mary Lightly because I think he appears several other times after this, at least a handful.
He's in at least 4 or 5 episodes. I even think maybe it's 6 when it's all said and done. Because if you count the musical and you know the movies, the finales, like he just does such a good job. Yeah, he just does such a good job. It's such a standout performance. Like I'm with Jake here. Like until someone really outside of Mary, until someone like knocks him out, it's gonna be Woody. Because Woody is, and so I think what we should do, and Billy made a good point here, is we should add a new category going forward, best Woody moment or top three Woody moments, because I think we could easily pull off a top three. But I went Mary Lightly, but honorable mentions Woody, he just wasn't in this season a ton. Granted, the scenes that he was in were great.
What am I doing? This is half a man.
And then Despero, right? Despero was I loved, and again, he's another one that comes back a few more times.
Yeah, I think we need to add guest star and then make this.
I was going to say, you could do a guest star one because, this season would be a real knockdown, drag out.
But I want Mary as well because, again, the holding of the umbrella, his acting, and we talked about, you know, Jimmy with the eye.
Boosh.
At length, I would wear that mask. Like, everything he does is electric on screen. So we add guest star, we add Woody Award, and then we add best side character. So we're just adding awards, which I love. And we'll give it to Mary this year. You know, his father's name was Mary. His father's before, like, you know.
His name was Mary. His father, his name was Craig.
Craig. I this is the struggle I have. I want to convince people to watch this show, but I like that it's a community that's small.
Yes, I agree.
Because I can do these jokes. And, like, I have had people recently being like, is that a psych joke? I had one of the best jokes of my life that's kind of inappropriate. I won't share. But somebody was like, was that psych? And I was like, no, it wasn't. But,
I also, my heart also can't take it if I tell somebody to watch it and they're like, not for me. So I'm like, yeah.
Because the first season is a little touch and go.
It's like Parks and Rec. It's like Parks, except this actually picks up speed faster. But it's like Parks and Rec.
Where Parks and Rec really doesn't get going until season three. When, you know,
I love
Rob Lowe and Adam Scott.
But regardless of all of those facts, I think we give it to Mary with the idea that we've just created more awards.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
But I also want to just mention Stuart Gimbley, who had a great performance in Let's Get Harry.
Yes. I got to give credit. Yes. Stuart Gimbley. The Harry biped. Definitely shot him out for sure.
It's like two Christmas hams kissing each other.
Because she has voluptuous buttocks.
See, again, and so when I was going to rank my episodes, I did this. I talked about this. We talked about that episode. You forget how funny it is. And then I forgot how funny it was when I was doing my ranking again. So, but we'll get to that. So our next award.
Backtrack Doc.
That's right. You can retcon anything, baby. It's the Long Branch Penny Whistle Award. And this is our favorite nickname. And I think we were all unanimous on this one. Our honorable mentions, we were all unanimous. So, Jake, why don't you tell the people who wins Season 4's Long Branch Penny Whistle Award?
I mean, it couldn't be anybody but Guy Buttersnaps.
Yeah, right.
And honestly, when I wrote this at first, I wrote it spelled like the word guy. And you know why I did that? It's extremely niche why I did that.
Guy LaDouche?
Yes, thank you.
Guy LaDouche.
That's why I did it. Because anytime I hear Guy, I think it's spelled like that because Guy LaDouche from MXC. But yeah, Guy Buttersnaps. I mean, it not only because I think what makes it so good is that obviously Sean says it, but then John Cena and Robert Patrick also repeat it.
Right. They say it in Think Tank too.
Yeah. Right, that was set on a secure military compound.
Yes. But no one else around.
Although I will say, our honorable mentions, pretty much all of us said Donut Holstein, which I think is
Sean. Because he has like a bad one there, and he like kind of looks like meh. And then his name's Garth Longmore, and he's like, wow, I should have came up with something better if your name's Garth Longmore.
I do have to say, I'm surprised that none of us put Black Magic.
Ooh,
yeah,
that is a good one.
Yeah, but that's
that. Covered simply as Rich Fingerland.
What's the one? What's the episode where he actually says Bert and Guster? Because it's somebody they're afraid of.
They're talking to the killer in the jail. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Why did you use my real name, Sean?
Why did I use my real name?
This is my associate.
Oh, and I also had Clementine Woolly Socks is one of my honorable mentions. Which one is that one from?
I honestly think our final four was Clementine Woolly Socks, Guy Buttersnaps, and Long Branch Penny Whistle, which the award is.
Guy Buttersnaps is my favorite. Maybe my favorite one in the entire show.
The heater.
My real favorite is this is my associate Blue Ivy. Wham! No pictures.
No pictures, please.
So good. I think that's season eight too. That's a late.
So Guy Buttersnaps, like
Dynasty.
Yeah,
comma to the top Dynasty. That's God's comma.
That's God's comma.
God's comma.
So our next award here. Now this one we're gonna have to. We all had very different choices here. This is the Blueberry Award for the best gag. And Billy, why don't you tell the people what your nominee?
I loved it because it was a rule of three comedy. It's the portable phone.
Yeah. Yeah,
make sense in a world with cell phones in 2009 and 10, but like the fact that it's used when they can't order pizza, which is the worst, and they have to get a tank of hallucinogens. And then it's the thing that is the bomb in Sean's elliptical, and then which my mom calls an ecliptical, by the way, and no end pisses me off, by the way. That's every time she says it, I'm like, oh God. And then it's the thing that saves the day at the end because he brought it to the crime scene, which I think is one of the best like little gags ever.
And then he just
I have it. This.
Yeah.
And then Gus is like, "You're buying us a new phone."
Yeah. That's a go. I completely forgot about that. I went with one of the, it's a sight gag, or it's not really a sight gag. It's one of the lines that comes out of fucking nowhere and just makes me laugh. It's so fucking hard every time it happens. It's from High Noonish, and it's Hank. It's James Brolin's character, and his leg's broken, and he doesn't want to go to the hospital. He doesn't believe in any anesthetic, so he has Gus. He just bite down on my big toe.
If a man asks you to bite down on his toe, Gus, you bite down on his toe.
And I don't know what it is, but it's the dry, straight nature in which he says it, and has the fucking look on Gus's face. But it's the absurdity of a grown man telling another grown man to bite down on his big toe that just fucking gets me every time.
I have two honorable mentions that I did not write down. I forgot to write down. One of them is literally the best gag is the Gus's queasy stomach, which recurs throughout the season.
Yeah.
Throughout the shark autopsy, the chum duty.
Guts.
Guts. The other one I didn't put because I think I put it for season 3 and I don't like to repeat them. But every time Sean does the Jules voice, it kills me.
It is good.
Hey, Sean.
I sound like an 8th grader. Well, you only have an 8th grade education.
But my pick is the air horn from Think Tank because it's kind of like the rule of three, but it's really Chekhov's air horn because Sean mentions it in their rider or whatever they
use it 3 times though too.
They do for the Think Tank. Then he, but when he pulls chief, it goes. Then you guys you did it for nothing. He goes, nope, we got this sweet air.
Dope horn. NBA air horn.
Yeah. and they all go fucking bananas.
Oh, I'm a sucker for the air horn.
They bring it back in the No Trud About It. With the air horn, and he's like, "I will blast you like a wayward tugboat."
So we have a real doozy here of choosing which one. Mine was a personal thing because it just makes me laugh. So
give my vote to the portable phone.
Yeah, I think I will too. I think portable phone takes it because then again, it's funny because it's funny on a couple of different one. Like you said, he brings it to the goddamn crime scene. And he just fucking hucks
it. So absurd.
But the fact that,
and it's
like,
the one time too where he's supposed to be able, like, that's the Sean gets the yips part where he's supposed to be able to throw it at the assailant, and he chucks it. He just threw our portable phone into a tree.
Yeah, he knob-locked it. But the best part about it too is you have this really serious moment, right? And it turns out just to be fucking Sean's idiocy and putting, hiding the phone in the elliptical. And so I say portable phone takes it.
Yeah. Fine with me.
All right. So that brings us to the damn girl. Most surprising moment. Damn girl. And again, we all had different nominees for this one. I'll go first. I'm going with there was legit stakes in Mr. Yin Presents. Presents Jesus Joseph because this was like we've had some stakes in psych before, but this was legit. You had Abigail, you had Jules, like the Mr. Yang Presents, you know, it was like Sean's mom and you got that, you know, sense of suspense, but you never really felt like anything was really in danger. This episode, like, it just built and built and built and built upon itself.
A legit death to a character that they built up to be great, who at the time was a decently popular character actor in the world of television.
Yeah, a 2-time suspect, and then, you know, is not, and then he's dead. And so, like, for me, like, the stakes in this episode was, you know, the highest they have been for this series so far. It executed so well. That's what I chose.
And not to mention, they had no reason to keep Abigail alive. Like,
no.
There was no reason.
No. Could you imagine if they killed her off? Holy shit, that would have been
nuts. I might as well just get to my point. My most surprising moment was, like, Sean was surprisingly okay with just letting Abigail die.
We go with Jules.
He was just like, we know where Jules is. We're going to get her. That's it. I'm like, and even Chief Vic is like, okay.
That's cold. That's cold.
That is interesting. I mean, it definitely foreshadows what ends up happening.
Well, to your point, she's the worst character.
That's also true. Which maybe that was going through his head.
but to play devil's advocate too, you know, I think part of it too is Sean's confidence in knowing that he can find Abigail, right? It's like, okay, you guys do this. I'm confident enough in my own ability. I can find Abigail.
But even then, it was like, wow, that's
harsh. The quickness in which he made the decision. Yes, I would say 100%.
Well, it was the ring of prayer because he doesn't realize it till he walks out of the investigation room.
True. Right. But that's kind of Sean's thing, is a wing and a prayer, sure. Right? Like, yes, he is a great detective, but, like, he's able to, you know, stumble upon things, right? So I think part of I never took that scene to be like, oh, shit, man, that is fucking cold. I mean, he does make a decision very quickly. I always looked at it as like, okay, you guys go get Jules. I know I can find Abigail.
It's rational, but it's also like, he didn't really even like hesitate. He was just like,
no, he didn't. He didn't.
But that, it is the rational thing to do.
It is. But it's also like, oh, all right.
But just I do think, and we can discuss this real quick here. I don't think they're boyfriend and girlfriend when that happens. Because he convinced her to try to get back together. I think they broke up when she left.
Yeah, I think it was one of those like, are we, you know, maybe they're on a break, or let's just see how things go.
In the death is in the air. Now that you don't have a girlfriend.
Oh, right.
He sees, you know, all I want to do is run a zoom, 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 and a boom, boom.
What is that smell?
Corn nuts.
Yeah. Good point, Billy. Good point. Yeah.
So I do think they're like. I think they knew like, because I recently cast a commercial and I cast a shitty actor and I was ready to. Not save him from under a pier. So, like, it's one of those things. So, mine. Did we get to mine?
Not yet.
So, me, it, like, this was a little bit, like, over the top. Lassie being a flat-out dick in the high-top fade-out episode. That was kind of, like, holy shit, they went there. Because he goes from being kind of always, like you said, there's three modes of Lassie dickishness. And he hits the ultimate level of Lassie dick, which I think we only get like one or two other times. I think they kind of win him over in a few of the episodes, including one of my favorite episodes that I didn't think that was my favorite episode. The one where Sean goes undercover with drag racing guys.
Oh, yeah.
He calls him a good work detective. I hated it originally. I like it on a rewatch.
We've already covered that, right? Or is that coming up?
No, it's coming up.
I believe that's a season fiver. But I was with you. I hated it. My favorite episode of all time. I hated it the first time I watched. Sean 2.0. But as I digress from that point, Lassie being a dick, I think, is a nice thing in this show. Because it's something that, like, legit, it was so, like, whoa, this is, like, over the line. Like,
yeah.
Like, out of context for the show, almost, that I found, like, huh, this doesn't make any sense. But it did make sense.
It made sense in the moment. And I think, you know, and I think because they do it so sparingly, when it does happen, it does give you that, like, reaction. You've got, oh, fuck, he's... you know, he's a real prick. Because I think 90% of Lassie that we get is just generally annoyed Lassie. Right? And that's that sort of level of Lassie we get. Like, you're fucking annoying me. Get out of the way, Spencer. Let me do my fucking job. And then there's those times where we see Lassie, like, bumbling doofus Lassie. And then we see Lassie, like, just over the top. Like, what the fuck? And,
I see what you mean there, Billy, because there's that line, I forget what episode it is, where he's like, you're not a detective and you never will be.
There's that line, and then there's the episode where he calls him a detective, like, nice shooting detective when he shoots that thing out. Yeah. So Lassie, I think, has the best up and down. Like, you don't know where he's going to be. Because even in the finale, I thought he was going to be excited to see, like, Spencer's finally telling him he's not a psychic. And he turns the fucking thing off.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh. I loved that because I wasn't expecting that.
But also part of me believes that that's his narcissism at play. Because he's like, you know what? I don't want to know this
guy. I don't want to know that this guy's just...
Yeah.
Better than me naturally. Yeah.
I'd rather just not know.
Yeah, it's a good point. That's a good point. So who are we going to give... Damn, girl. Award to?
I'm fine with giving it to Mr. Yin. Because...
Yeah.
You had Mary dying. You almost had a second character die, so...
Yeah, that was shocking. Like, I said it at the time, and I stand by it. It had as much stakes as Stranger Things and The Boys, the last season of each. And this is a procedural comedy on USA.
And let's be real. They were never going to kill Sean's mom last season. Like, that was never...
No, God, no.
No.
Like, this time, like, wow, they killed.
They killed?
Like, he's dead.
Yeah.
But all the scene with them standing at his casket, married.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah. The way they're dressed.
I will never wear short shorts.
All right. So there we go. Damn Girl goes to Mr. Yin Presents. Best Henry moment. Billy, why don't you lead us off?
I think Sean as a shot in the dark. Like, Henry has a great season this season. But him and Lassie's dynamic is the classic buddy cop dynamic that is a little bit flipped. Because they're both straight-laced sticklers, and when you put them together, it's a nice dynamic, and you just get Henry. He's not even thinking about anything but his son, and you get a couple corny lines like, you know, there's no door I wouldn't break down to find Sean or whatever, but it's a really good Henry episode that is played off, and you see how good the Spencer boys are paired up against Lassie. And I love that dynamic. And we actually see it in the Head the Tails and the whole damn episode, too, where they're back at it again.
Yeah.
So I really like that. And they paired it with a nice amount of comedy, too.
What about you, Jake?
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat as Billy. I edited mine at the last second. I mean, pretty much all of Shot in the Dark. I think that the flashback where he actually kicks out the taillight gets me every time.
Oh, my God.
This is when you would kick out the taillight.
Right. I didn't say do it.
But also, like Billy said, catching the shark. I mean, like, because that is something Sean would do. Like, he would go after the shark. Of course he would. Like, he does end up doing that.
Yeah, like, rhymes with fark punting.
And as much as Sean hates to admit it, and like Lassie says in this season, they're the same person, he and his father.
It's not a bug. It's a binder. Identical.
Which Spencer are you talking to? It doesn't matter. You're the same person. It's like, it's true because they are the same person. And I think this season goes a long way in showing us that they are identical, as much as they don't like to admit it.
Wait,
I mean, what?
I gotta do my cousin Vinny. Anybody? To you?
I haven't seen that movie in like 30 years.
Identical.
All right. Yeah.
There we go. Yeah, the Henry we get in this season is a stark contrast to the Henry we get next season, which is the origin of the Henry is a Prick Award. Is season 5 Henry when he's he's a real he cock blocks the shit out of those guys. It's like throughout the entire season.
Then we get total Henry redemption in season 6.
We do get total Henry redemption.
I think you get Henry redemption by the middle of season 5.
I think you forget about how much Henry was a real knob job in season 5, though.
First, like, 7 episodes. I've actually been watching season 5 quite a bit. By Sean 2.0, he's kind of turned a corner.
Has he? Yeah. Okay, we'll see. So I went with the Thrill Seekers and Hellraisers episode because, you know, Gus has got himself a pretty good-looking lady that he's very into, and Sean is just like, you know how Sean is. When
this is a great one.
But there's a moment here with Henry, and he's trying to talk to Sean. He says, listen, Gus is happy. She's a good gal, despite her being a one-upper. She's a good gal.
She's not.
And you've got to – she kind of is.
Yeah.
He's pretty much just telling Sean, he's like, listen, you got to be there for your friend now. Like, it's going to be a point in time where – he's going to find a lady. You got to support him. You got to be there for him. And he delivers this. Like, I can't remember what the actual piece of advice was, but then he tells Sean, I've had more than a little, but less than enough. But you know I'm right. Mm-hmm. And then like that like hits home with Sean, and that sort of changes Sean's outlook.
And then Sean gets the drunken like come to Jesus moment.
Yeah. And then turns out, yeah, she wasn't fucking involved. And then the whole, but so like, I just thought like that was a really good father, son, Henry, Sean moment, because they weren't button heads, you know, and it wasn't like Sean was going to Henry for help. It was just two guys taking a look at a situation and just having to talk about it. And I thought like, I thought that was really good, Sean, you know, a shot in the dark, I think should win it, because again, that whole episode is predicated on Henry, you know, going to whatever lengths he needs to get his son. Right. But this season really, I think, encapsulated just how, like, we've seen Henry and Sean butt heads. We've seen them, we can, you know, they can be oil and water, but this season really just showed just how tight the relationship really is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's one of those building blocks, because like you said, they do a good job of making them the same person. And like the line Jake said, of it doesn't matter. You're both the same person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That kills me.
Yeah, that's an absolute great one. So I think, are we in agreement? We're going to give it to Shot in the Dark?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense. And that's a really good episode and a really good connection for those two. So Henry was great in that episode. So let's move on to Gus. Gus, don't be ya. This is the lamest moment award. And I'm going to kick it off, because this is the episode I dislike the most this season. A very Juliet episode. The whole fucking thing.
It's not the whole thing.
The whole thing.
It's not
the whole thing. It's the whole thing.
Like, it's a little lame. But I saw these answers. I'm like, what a couple of... To quote Mayor Adam West, what a couple of squares.
Yeah.
I don't like the train scene. That's my main
thing. No, it's a little corny.
I hate that. That is boo.
My opinion, this episode would have been a lot better if they cast anybody else in the role of Jules' love interest.
Oh, he's a sack. Stinks. He's a sack.
The guy has as much chemistry as a cardboard box.
I mean, yeah. I say he is a... How do I phrase this? He's an Oreo McFlurry without the
You know who you're, you know, are you guys It's Always Sunny fans?
Yes.
He reminds me of the guy that played Psycho Pete.
Oh,
yeah.
That's what he reminds me of.
Just like, a wet sack of white. Yeah,
like on edge. Like, I don't get good vibes from him. Like,
yeah.
And everything else about the episode, I liked a lot. Like the Billy Zane scene at the prison.
Oh my God, that is good.
Yeah.
I like the fight at the end.
Yeah, the fight at the end is great.
Yeah, it was a great crime. I just hated him.
Too. Like, yeah. Why is
it? And they cast the wrong guy for that too. Yeah.
The casting was just off in this episode, and I think that's what makes it bad. But I understand where you're coming from, but I don't think the whole thing was
bad. Is this
I'm being hyperbilly here, but
is this where we get we never left Greece?
Yes.
Yes.
So that's worth it. That alone makes it good.
that alone is worth it. And that maybe should have been considered in best moment, because that was a great little scene.
Oh, between most surprising scenes. Moment. For
are
sure.
we still
last
on Greece?
Angels.
Last
we never left.
Musicals, man. Didn't expect
right?
it.
And usually Psych nails the music. I did not like the music in this episode either. Yeah, I'm not a big rom-com guy. So like that just so that's my choice. Looks like it's Billy's choice.
I have an honorable mention, actually, Doc, you reminded me, because of the music thing. The Pink song in the first episode during the ski montage.
No.
No, thank you. Like any other song. Like, I get that you guys are a big USA show now and you can afford the rights to that song, but I don't care. But I really don't like Pink's music that much.
I don't like Pink either, but also go with a better Pink song.
Yeah. A better Pink song or a, like, any other song? I don't know. Yeah. But, anyway.
Trouble now.
So
it's terrible. They should have gone like something like James Bondish,
right?
Because it's a spy, not a spy thing, but like he's an art thief. So they should have given you something like, you know.
How about Smooth Criminal by Alien Ant Farm? They should have done that. So.
That would have been
anyway.
Been much better.
My honorable mention is, like I mentioned earlier, just calling the episode Think Tank. It was a surprise.
Yeah,
because like they even the like lesser clever episode titles at least have a pun in them, or they're a little more creative. That was just weird. But for me, it was in High Noonish, which you guys can, or at least Billy can see. I'm a little lower on that than I guess you guys are. But the villain in the gold mine
Stinky
staff,
Feet.
Stinky Feet, right. When he's sitting there, like, I played the bad guy for so long, I guess the line kind of got blurred. I'm like, oh, give me a break.
Yeah,
like,
a little cringe.
You were a bad guy. Yeah, right. Like, that was kind of what ruined that episode for me a little bit. I thought the villain was kind of stupid and the plot was a little convoluted. But, I mean, James Brolin saves the whole thing anyway. But
he does. And Lassie, too. Lassie's great in that.
It's a great Lassie episode.
I think very Juliet episode here. Right?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Okay. You know, that's right. Favorite character. And we are not all in consensus on this one. So, Billy, why don't you tell us who your favorite character was this season?
I think we talked about it. It's the MVP year for Sean for sure. Like, he is a all-time performance in this one. He really steps up to the plate. A lot of the episodes are based on him. There's a lot of character building on him. So I think it's tough to go with anybody but him. Jules had she had some featured moments in the season. Lassie's pretty good, but it's got to be Sean.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt it's Sean. But my honorable mentions, I mean, I had Mary Lightly, I had Despero, and I had Woody. Mary Lightly very easily could have been my favorite character just because of his performance in Mr. Yin. It was just so freaking good. And I
big
wrote Despero.
Guy.
Yeah. Despero and Woody, because we see them again. Like, Woody might see Woody in one of these seasons be my favorite character overall, because he's that good. And we will start to see him a little bit more prominently as the series goes on. Despero, I love because for two reasons. One, his ability to, just be one step ahead. But then, like, Sean and his relationship, right? And I just think, like, Sean's absolutely infatuated with him. And Gus is like, he's a fucking criminal, Sean. But, like, we get, two episodes that we get with him. One is this one. But the next one we get is when Sean and Jules connect, for the first time. And so, like, he's a character that always sticks out to me, but without a doubt, season four favorite character is Sean. He just nails it.
I'm more of a Gus guy. I do love Sean in this season. He's great, but I gave him so many flowers earlier that I needed to go somebody different. I need to keep him modest, keep him a little humble. But to me, Gus, before this, after this, during this season, has always been Sean's, like, emotional compass. And if Sean didn't have Gus, he would be probably a, like, irredeemable person. He needs Gus to kind of keep him on the right path and kind of be that conscience that Sean didn't have to this point. But, I mean, don't get me wrong. Gus definitely needs Sean as well. But Gus, to me, is the emotional center of the show. And without him, the show is kind of like a band without a bass player. Like,
he's his magic wish machine.
Yeah. So as great as Sean is, I think I've made him the best character in, like, two of the three seasons already. So I got to give flowers to Gus, because the show it's Sean and Gus, and that's without them, there's no show.
Right. Yeah. I just think, and, like, the episodes where Gus was prominently featured in, he was great, especially in High Top Fade Out.
Yeah.
He was excellent in that episode. And that's, one of my favorite episodes, from the season, but we just didn't get a lot from him overall, like we had in the previous, three seasons. There wasn't a lot of over the top Gus. There wasn't a lot of nerd Gus. There wasn't a lot of, it was just kind of like you said, Gus kind of being there and being his emotional center, which Sean needs, but it's not always Gus at his best.
I will also say this. I think it goes back to what Billy said earlier about USA trying to kind of push James Rodet as more of the star and kind of more time, which
even though Gus is coming off fucking West Wing, right? One of the biggest shows, of the time. Right?
I would imagine James Rodet got some sort of Emmy nom for cable or something like that in this season.
Yeah, something to check out for sure. So, Sean, it's not really an award. This is just sort of our favorite character here. So let's get into our top three favorite moments. Before we dive into ranking of the episodes And Jake, why don't you lead us off?
Oh, boy. All right. So I will go. Number three is the cold open of Sean Takes a Shot in the Dark. Because this is something we're not used to seeing. Sean in real distress by himself. He's bin shot, no LOL. And
bin shot. Bin shit. What's bin shit?
And a lot, not a lot. Sometimes those cold opens with Henry, they tie into the show, but it seems a little bit like forced. And I don't really like it that much. And it just seems too much. And this, I love how it's interwoven with Sean doing what he's been taught. It's just, it's a nice kind of a nice way to kind of put it together. It's not like a this and then this. It's a this, kind of like a sequence that we're seeing. And not to mention, they realize Sean's been shot and the shit gets real fast.
Yeah.
And I like that a lot. Number two for me is any scene with Despero, but if I'm forced to pick one, I think it's him in the hotel room with Sean. Yeah. A gentleman never packs his gun next to his shoes. I think it's
right.
It's uncouth.
It's uncouth, right. I love Cary Elwes, and he's fantastic in this role. This was cast perfectly, and he is tremendous. I know he comes back in a couple other episodes, but this one, I still think this is his best appearance to date, or actually, to the end of the show.
If you're going to do a fourth Psych movie, by the way, he's the guy to build her.
He has to.
Oh, 100%.
You got to bring him back. And number one for me, took a little thinking, but when I got to it, it was pretty easy. The Hitchcock recreation. All Henry, Lassie, Jules, Sean, and Gus playing the roles of Hitchcock characters. That ends up with Jules being kidnapped by Mr. Yen. So that is probably my favorite scene from the season, because I think it's a perfect microcosm, I guess is the right word, of what Psych is. A lot of pop culture references, but also a serious drama with some humor mixed in at the same time. And I think that 5-minute scene really encapsulates that. So that's my favorite scene.
Nice. So I went with pretty much all of Mr. Yin Presents. We had this conversation last episode where I talk about it a lot. I talk about it as if it's my favorite episode. I think it's the best episode of Psych, but best and favorite are two different things. And I just think what they accomplish in this episode this season is just start to finish an absolute home run. Everything about the storytelling, the character work, everything about it is absolutely perfect. In the church, when Sean first sees Gus and Black Capella sing, is absolutely one of my favorite moments from the season, because a lot of it is just James wrote it. It's Sean's facial expressions. You know, when he first hears Gus sing and he kind of cocks his head, he's just got this like look of like astonishment and amazement and just everything that like, just, it's like, you know, eating an Oreo for the first time, right? Or something like that. He's just like, and then he starts clapping along and singing along and he gives the amen. Like that scene, I absolutely love. And this episode in general, I really love. And then
shout out,
for me,
shout out Tony Todd.
And then my other favorite moment from this season is the opening restaurant scene from Sean Gets the Yips. This episode, for whatever reason, maybe it was the first episode of Psych I ever saw, or it was one of the first ones that just sort of stuck out. But I love this episode. But I love this scene in particular, the way he's talking about what the yips are, you know, and how it could have been much worse, you know, how he's accosting the waitress because he didn't get his chili cheese fries that should be creating a crater in his colon and is giving someone else dyspepsia. Like that just whole scene, it's like, to me, it's like almost a perfect encapsulation of who Sean is as a character and sort of what the show is as a whole.
Also a great look into Lassie, because he's ignoring him the entire time. So he says he has a gun, and then Lassie stops on a dime. And then he starts taking it seriously.
Like, absolutely tremendous. How about you, William?
All right. So we'll go bottom up here. Detective Dipstick, when they roll into that scene, I love that. Also offers a whoopsie. And Sean's kind of talking to Lassie about this is like just the part of where you spit out a crazy theory. People are saying like this and that, you should probably call your sideburns. Like that back and forth between the two of them.
So good.
In the role reversal, like the Freaky Friday thing, it doesn't get much better than that. And so then good. excuse me, the shower scene for Death is in the Air.
I thought about putting that on my list.
That slays me. That's not big on nude handshakes. Yeah. No more tears, Jules. Just like our prom night. Oh no, it's just like when we took baths.
Naked in the parking lot, just like.
It's so good.
Yeah, that was on my short list. I almost put that on there.
There's just so many little jokes in that, like, 90-second scenes. Donnie Lieberman, not big on nude handshakes. Yeah. And then
when he yells at Buzz.
Eyes up here, slugger.
Yeah.
Yeah, when he looks at Buzz. It's so good.
The whole thing is absolutely, that whole scene is absolutely tremendous. Absolutely kills me.
My one is the whole Sean in the restaurant scene from Sean Gets the Yips. Yeah. Sean Gets the Yips, I won't say it now, but it's I love to death of that episode and him talking about all of the yippy stuff, like sailed into the bleachers and hit Keith Olbermann's mom in the face. Oh my god, that's terrible. That's okay, Jules. I'm getting improvement. Like, everything about that scene is just so psych. It packs in so many little things. And would you like to ladle out the last lesbian, Gus? Like the happy birthday. It is Sean at his Seaniest. It's a psych scene to a T.
That scene, but just this episode in general too, where Buzz gets his eyebrows blown off.
That's a great episode.
Oh, here I am complaining, and you're over here thirsty. And then we get one of my favorite Sean lines, where he goes, "Well, I took a nap. Watched a little Phineas and Ferb."
Oh, no. That's
not this one. Oh, wrong episode. Yet. That's right. Yep. I'm thinking of, I could go for a slice. Right? This episode? Yeah. But the whole thing in general, just absolutely hysterical. So good stuff there. We do not know. Billy has kept this a secret from us. Mm-hmm. We do not know how the rankings have shaken out here. So, William, why don't you throw that some bitch right up on the screen there?
And right, we got some graphics for it. So number 16 in a shocker, probably the biggest shock of the list. I thought we would have a de facto number 16, but coming in at number 15, everybody's favorite musical, Bollywood Homicide, with 8 points.
What?
Knew it. I knew it.
I had it at 2. You had it at 2, Jake. And Doc, you had it at 4.
Wow.
Now, it's not a good episode.
Couple of good moments, as always, in every psych episode, but not a great episode.
I think
I had it 12, not 4, Billy.
I think you meant point. Like,
you get 4 points for having it at 12. That's how we'll do it. Like, you had it ranked at 12, but it gets 4 points. So, like, number 1 gets 16, number 16 gets 1.
So, for me, I think a lot of the stuff I like about psych, obviously the banter, the pop culture stuff, but for me, if the twist is kind of shitty, I don't really like the episode that much. And it's just, it doesn't, I don't, it's.
Didn't even
really
make sense.
It also didn't make a lot of sense. And there, a lot of the stuff fell flat for me. So that's why I didn't like it that much.
Yeah. I mean, there was some good comedy in there.
Oh yeah.
But just in general, like, yeah, I definitely had it, bottom of my list. Jay Shagahandar, he was fine, but he wasn't great. The other guy from they had a guest star, like the grandmother was the best guest star they had, on the episode. But the crime wasn't great. It was a little, there was a funny moment though, when they're doing the seance at the fucking office and Sean's got the dude's hands in the water and he's got the current running through it. He's like, I'm starting to get a little tingly. Like,
there's a lot of funny moments, but overall, case isn't good. Overall, comedy isn't great. It's the Abigail episode, which always kind of takes it down.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
All right.
So let's get into number 15. It's not a very Sean episode. It's not a very Gus episode. It's not even a very Lassie episode. Wow. It is number 15, a very Juliet episode, 10 points. And because this is how I do it for the top, this is how I do it for the bottom. The bottom, the lowest amount of points, because 10 was tied with another one. Me and Doc had this dead last.
Wow.
Jake, 8 points. 8 fucking points.
So, to quote Andy Bernard, you guys are really mean. So, look, I think it's a pretty solid episode overall, because I think it's got a great guest star in Billy Zane.
But it's not Billy Zane. It's a Billy Zane guy.
Right, Billy Zane guy. Right. It's got some great Sean and Gus stuff. I think it's a pretty decent caper overall, despite some casting issues. And it's... I know the title is very literal, because we don't really get much Juliet. We get some Juliet. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty much this and Mr. Yin Presents are like her two big episodes. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure we'll talk about that one much later. But this... there's definitely some hit or miss stuff, but I think she's able to carry it enough that it's a pretty middle for season 4, especially middle of the road episode. But I think it's solid. I don't really mind it that much. I think the caper itself is enough for it to get me over. I like the twist. So I think that's what propelled it for me into the top 10.
There's definitely funnier moments in this one than Bollywood Homicide. But overall, if you ask me to watch an episode, literally the last episode I might watch is a very Juliet episode.
100%. And I'll watch a Bollywood Homicide over this 10 times out of 10. And the fact that that fucking square has got an elephant figurine. I mean, I shouldn't be one to talk. I've got Guy Fieri, Kramer, Batman here. I got 3 shells full of Legos. But, like, elephant figurines. Come on, son.
Come on, son. All right, so let's get to number 14. This is not for the faint of heart. This is Thrill Seekers and Hellraisers. I had this at a 3. Jake, you had this as your absolute worst one. Can't really argue that. Doc, you had the 6 points and then overall 10 points.
All right. Well, I had to explain myself for overranking it, so I need Doc to explain himself for overranking it.
Indeed.
Overranking. I had this at 11th. I had this sort of back end of the meaty part of the curve. You know,
I was Juliet like, 9,
very so. Much higher than anybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm just taking a look at. You know,
some foxes in this episode. I'll give you that.
Some foxes for sure.
And, some good comedy too.
I just think like when I was sort of ranking these episodes out. I mean, just to take a look. So like, I have a very definitive top 10, and then you know, going backwards, very Juliet episode. He dead. Devil's in the details. Let's get here. So this is where you know I talked about earlier, like retconning. Like I just generally forgot how funny Let's Get Harry was. And so, like, if I were to retcon and switch, I probably would put...
Sons of bitches.
I would put this guy, you know, Thrill Seekers and Hellraisers. I would swap it with Let's Get Harry on my list. And it would probably be... It probably wouldn't have changed the rankings all that much more. But, like, yeah, I probably rank this one a little bit higher because Doc's a horn dog and Stacey Keebler and what's her name are just stone cold foxes.
Fair enough.
Although right. We get bunnies though.
Columbia. You
know, to me, the reason I rank this dead last is because pretty much all of the guest stars, for lack of a better term, just fell flat for me.
Stu. Stewart.
They weren't interesting. The story itself to me was not compelling.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I don't blame you one bit.
This isn't a good episode. We all had it ranked fairly low. Doc had it
right in
the podcaster's dozen, but it's still, for psych, I would watch it. Not saying I wouldn't.
Hey,
and then
it's like Rick and Morty. That episode of Rick and Morty is still a pretty good episode.
It's like pizza, right?
Yeah,
which at this point I'm feeling a pizza, but unlucky number 13. He did 12 points. Some great Binky, some great Lassie, some great beans. We got the bite down on my dough. Overall,
wrong episode, Billy.
Wrong episode.
He did. Oh fuck! This is the other one. I'm an idiot.
Yeah, this is yeah. That's high noonish.
So whatever his name is.
Man. Warren he Clayton. Did. This is Warren Clayton.
I call him Clay.
Yeah. All right. That's a big miss for me as the I consider myself like my dad. I think my dad is one of the top 10 Patriots fans in the world, legitimately. I think I'm one of the top 10 psych fans in the world, legitimately.
Yeah, I wouldn't protest that, Billy.
And this is a blow. It's a blow.
It's a blow. I'll chalk it up that you were looking at the other episode on the
screen. You know what though? They're close in episode numbers. 2 and 3. I'm not going to make any excuses. This is a blemish. This is if you were to make a case in court. But yes, Warren Clayton, The Door. You know what? That might be the best gag, by the way. That's a good one.
Oh, the door.
Oh, the dogs are pretty good too, though.
Yeah, that's really good. This one, it's good. You know, you get some good Gus in this one. You know, trying to get the business investments. It's always fun when they're dealing with high society, but I think there's a reason it's, you know, 13.
Yeah, it just falls a little flat. It's not terrible, but it falls a little flat for sure.
Well, this goes to Jake's point, and now I'm being the guy that I hate. Episode names are bad this season.
Yeah.
And I don't like to be that guy making excuses, but this is my show. I just fucked it up.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Billy, it happened. Hey, it happens. You know, we're not all Ted Williams. You know, we can't go out there and, you know, bat 400 all the time. You know, it happens. It's okay. It makes you human.
Hey, would you rather the title be good and the episode suck? Like with that.
True. Way. True.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. All right. What do we got next, Dan William?
All right. So number 12. We have, and I couldn't handle the last one, but we can handle this one. You can't handle this episode, and if I'm correct, this is the John Cena episode.
Yes, it is. I'm pretty sure I had this 12th, actually. Or it was 13th.
I think you had this episode.
I have it right here. Hold on. I have my rankings here. I had I had it 14th.
Yeah, so not great.
No, not great.
Oh, yeah, you had it 3 points. Doc had it at 8 points. I had it at 4. So I really should have looked at your overall rankings because this doesn't make any sense now that I'm looking at this. But so it's a good episode. You get some Jules character development. I guess Jules had more character development than we thought. But this is where we get Key Buttersnaps, a.k.a. the heater. We get some good, you know, antics on the base. I like it overall. You get the lines from an officer and a gentleman. And by the way, Lou Gossett Jr. and Dule Hill do some stuff in the future or previously to this, so it has a little meaning to it too that I didn't even know at the time. It's a good episode, just not great.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I had this in my top 10. I had this at 9, I think, is where I had it overall. Because I do, there are some great Sean moments. There's some great moments between Sean and James Patrick. I thought Cena did a great job in this episode, and I liked the story. You know, I thought the crime was good. There were some good Gus moments here where he's doing push-ups and all that. So I definitely like this episode more than you guys did.
Never seen a man so big who can't hide behind a plane.
I do like the line was like, we're gonna sneak in under the radar. He's like, yeah. Well, I didn't know they had actual radar.
Right. And so like,
and that's a crash cut too. Like they just cut to them.
Yeah, they cut right to it.
Yeah, which is great, and I think that we're getting to a point where like a lot of these episodes, like I can't complain that this episode we have ranked overall 12th and I had 9th. I mean, a lot of these episodes here you could interchange, kind of put them in any order here, and it's right.
Like Billy said earlier, like I'll still watch this episode, like it's still a good episode, but also at the end of the day, I just felt like the whole the B plot with Jules's brother being, you know, this like secret like double agent like. Shredding stuff.
The Mr. Claw guy from Inspector Gadget as like the bad guy.
Yeah.
Kind of weak, but we get it. Kind of like have to have that device, I guess. But now we'll go to boom, boom, boom. Number 11. The Devil in the Details and the Bedroom Upstairs. I know, Doc, at the time when we reviewed this, you really loved this episode.
Yeah.
And you did not rank it high.
I did not rank it. I ranked it low, and so
that was not Ray Wise, my friend.
Ray Wise was great. So I'm writing them all out, and as I'm putting my list together, like that's the thing. We do the show sort of week to week, and we watch the episode fresh. You have that sort of recency bias when you're watching the show there and talking about that week, and then when I write it all out and I look at it, I'm like. There's a lot of episodes that I think I like just a little bit more. Like I rewatch just a little bit more frequently. And like I just said, it's like literally like,
well, you can't watch this one. 'Cause your wife doesn't like it.
She does not like this episode.
I can understand why you would not like this episode. I don't watch this episode,
but like we're in a cosmic gumbo here where you can just like throw all this shit in the bowl, mix it up and like, okay with it. Like it's not a bad episode. I had it at towards the bottom of my list, but like again, like there's just this grouping of episodes that are all like on a very similar plane to me.
The boom, boom, boom kills me. That's bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Ray Wise a lot. This is a very niche thing, but have either of you guys ever watched the show Reaper?
No.
It's where Ray Wise plays like the devil, and this dude like sells his soul to the devil. It's like a college student, so now he has to do the bidding of Ray Wise. It's a pretty decent show. Like two or three seasons. I think it ran on Fox. I can't remember. But Ray Wise, I've always liked Ray Wise. I think he's a very solid actor. I think he's a really good guest star. He comes back a couple times after this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's better in his subsequent roles than he is in this one, for sure.
To each their own, I guess, Doc. But I like this episode a lot. I love the line that she said in German was from Run, Lola, Run, which it's a good movie, but for your favorite movie, really?
Yeah.
And we do get the cheek-to-cheek pose picture.
Right. Yes.
Not on
yes.
Facebook yet.
Billy, you'll know this. What season is the Katie Lang picture from?
Oh, that's season five. It's season five. Like he's like, I look like
that's the Freddie Prince episode with the
It
looks like I should be singing Constant Craving right now.
I remember that I was watching that last night in bed. Megan is dead asleep, and then that picture comes up, and he goes, "I look like Katie Lang." And I fucking lost it. And I woke her up, and she was so pissed.
Oh, I cannot wait. I cannot wait for season five. So I'm pretty sure season five is Fairy Tale too, right?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, Fairy Tale, Viagra Falls,
Sean
2.0.
That's my favorite thing, and we gotta get James Rodé on because like no one like to be a fan of Friday, like they do the create, and then like to the one quote to do is the. Is Smokey knocking on his door with the mama? Like that is so like pinpoint of the movie that like
Sean.
I fucking forgot about that.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to go off.
Cree,
man.
Oh, all right. So let's move on to
number 10.
Yeah,
Bite Down on My Toe, the one I screwed up earlier. High nudish James Brolin. Again, like, you're right, Doc. This is like a stew. Like, you got yourself a stew going here with a lot of the episodes you'll rewatch because they're great, but they don't tick to that next level. And we're starting, we're getting close to the next level, even though you guys are assholes in the next one. But this is, I think, the breaking point of season four where it's, like, very good. And then I think we kick, like, 9 episodes to be great out of 16 is crazy. So for this to be our number 10... And to be, you know, draggle, slim, any of those will do me fine. When he's like the scene where they get on the horse to ride like 10 feet
right.
in this episode, it's fucking amazing comedy.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, you guys know how TV works. Like, usually when you start a season like this, especially when you're gaining steam as a show, you lead with the episodes about the bigger guest stars. So like, you have Cary Elwes, you have Christine Baranski, you have James Brolin. Like, that's those are the three you're leading with. Yeah. And to me, as you guys saw my rankings, only really one of those really hits. This is a good episode. Don't get me wrong. I don't like He Dead that much. This is a good episode, but you got to leave with those ones. And this is a pretty solid episode. I'm not big on Westerns. That's really where it's just not my thing. But even that, I do like James Brolin. I like kind of the conceit of the episode. I think the twist at the end is kind of
scary. Yeah.
I do like
the caustic stuff.
I like the it's copper. Why would we get all worried about copper? It's gold.
Yeah, I think I had this ranked 8th, and here it is at 10, right? So I mean, like, yeah, we're just in that cosmic gumbo of the season.
Stop saying that. I can't stop laughing at that.
I've seen every cock on the planet.
More of like a, you know, I would say it to him on the sets. I'd say to Ryan on the sets, like a cosmic gumbo.
Well, not only did Crashmore have a vast and unruly beard, but so did AKA Sylvester Ritter the Junkyard Dog. Let's get hairy. This was my number 2.
Wow.
You sons of bitches. I think this is one of the best episodes of Psych of all time. It is nonstop, T to B, top to bottom. This episode has classic Gus crushing over Vampira. It has classic Sean. This is a great Sean episode where he wears
hold the gin.
Oh my God, wears the pelt as a symbol to its power. You get the two Christmas hams kissing under mistletoe. And Doc, you get Myrtle.
Yeah, you do
get Myrtle.
I forgot about fucking
Myrtle. You can't hang with this old bird.
One of my favorite Lassie lines too, when he pulls out the badge.
Oh man, yeah, I overlooked Myrtle. I fucking love Myrtle, but even like I said, you forget how funny this episode is. Still, I wouldn't have had it numbered. I mean, I would have thought Yin and Yips. Like at best, I would have thought this would have been 3 for you, William.
Oh, this is I don't have Mr. Yin at number 1, by the way. So this is my number 2.
Wow! Wow! Wow, Billy's the one coming in hot this season, yeah. not Jake. But,
this episode. This is
I forgot Myrtle. I would have had this ranked higher had I remembered.
This is my partner, Cheswick. I'm RP McMurphy. Like this episode, Chronic Spitter, I climb up and nuzzle. That's Ruiz.
Yeah.
He makes a donation to the Wildlife Foundation. He's the head of the fucking taxidermy thing. There's so much Gus in this episode. It's Lassie and Jules. You get there's so much like this could be a life of death or mange. Like this episode kicks ass.
I would say my two favorite things about this episode. One is that I thought it was the episode Ghosts for a second. Then I realized, mm-hmm. Wait, it's not. So I love it because I hated that episode. This episode was great. Secondly, I really like the twist. Like I think it's a really creative.
Oh yeah.
It's a good one too. Yeah.
Very creative. And also Stuart Kimberly, fantastic. So third thing, he's great too. I said a little bit lower because it's not my favorite, but I think I had it. What I had it like? Let me see what I have it. Let's Get Harry was 8 for me. You know, it was.
Yeah, you had it high, Doc. So, you did not.
I did. So I will take my mea culpa here. I will take my mea culpa here because again. Just like
I mean, if you had it somewhat higher, because it was in 29 and everything else is like in the mid-30s, this could have vaulted.
It could have vaulted. But I also think it's appropriately placed. Now, I definitely could have had it high. I definitely could have rated it higher. But I think it's like, at least
this
for
is
me,
my only miss on the entire list.
Wow.
Because it's not top middle. It's not the second half. This 9 kills me. If it was at least top 8, the half of the season... But what are you going to do?
Okay. So I'll take my mea culpa.
Hey, but it happens. I already fucked up Pine Nudish and he dead. We all make mistakes, but let's get into...
Only God is perfect, Billy. Only God is perfect.
It's true. And he made me. So to Jake's point, probably the worst named episode in the history of the show. Number 8, Think Tank, 30 points. But we get the NBA Let's Blast It Air Porn. Trampolines Gigantes, like the ending. That might be one of the best ending scenes in history. It's like, hola, Shanino Rodriguez. Like, that is pinnacle psych right there. And the whole episode's pretty good. And we get Aston Bonaventure and the mane of hair. It's a fantastic episode.
Oh, good old Chris Sarandon.
Who's going to be at Boston Fan Expo next week, by the way. Yeah. I love this episode. I had it on my Mount Rushmore. I love Sean's soliloquy as he's trying to stall and he does the whole Wall Street things and starts talking about Flan. I love him trying to get him out of the hotel safely. I love the scene when they're actually in the think tank. Like for me, like there's just, again, like there's certain episodes that I'm going to just rank higher. Because for whatever reason, like there are episodes that have just stuck with me. Like when I think psych, like these were some of the first episodes that just come right to my head. Dual Spires, Think Tank, Sean Gets the Yips, Viagra Falls, right? Like the boom. Like I rattle them off quickly. And so this is for me one of those episodes that I absolutely love. Now I had it in my top 4, so seeing it at 8 kind of stinks. But also again, like, all right. Yeah.
It's the closest we had to with It's the first close all double digits, like points wise. I had 11, Jake had 7, you had 12. So it's the first one where we're all kind of consensus. It's almost middle of the pack or better.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't argue where it is, you know. I just like it more than most. That's all. All right, Billy, what do we got next?
All right, number 7, the head, the tail, the whole damn episode, Detective Dipstick or Officer Whoopsie. The penultimate episode, I mean, we get a lot of Woody. We get a lot of great stuff in this episode, and this is tipping the middle point of the season perfectly.
I guess I weighed this one down a little bit.
You did, but not like too much.
No, because I had this ranked 6th, right? So
I had it 11.
Okay. Billy had it high. I know it was. Was this your number one, Billy?
No. This was my number. So I had 13 points. So that would be like number four for me. This is my Mount Rushmore episode.
Gotcha.
It's a good episode. Don't get me wrong. Like I said, the top dozen or so episodes, I really like. This is a really good episode. But still, I think there was some lulls. Again, I thought the killer at the end was kind of lame. As much as I loved the resolution with Gus knocking him out, that was pretty good. But it was good, but I think the seal episode was better, which I think was last season, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
I think that was it not Chappie? What was his name?
Chabby.
Chabby, thank you.
Yeah.
I think that was better. But as far as aquatic animal
theme, Thessalion.
Right. it's a good episode. There's some good Lassie stuff. And every time I watch it, I'm like, I wish Lassie would just stuck with his theory.
Like, yeah, that's what makes it a great episode, though.
I know. It does. Because he was, it does suck. Because he was on it. And then it's the opposite of the 65 million years in the making episode.
Mm-hmm.
Where Sean's like, I want to prove that I have a different theory, a prevailing theory. And it's right. Yeah. And
don't sleep in the nude tonight.
Right. As opposed to Lassie. But it makes you feel for Lassie, who is not a very,
feelable character.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
yeah.
But we never left Greece, though.
Never left Greece.
So let's go to number six. One of the more serious episodes. Sean takes a shot in the dark. This has Garth Longmore, Donut Holstein. I think it's appropriately ranked because it's funny, it's serious, and you get a great Jules and Sean moment here where you think he's confessing his love. Probably is, and then okie dokes her with the goodbye, Abigail.
Right.
That was tough.
Yeah, this was, we talked about this. It was a strong Henry episode. I love the Henry and Lassie, buddy cop, sort of ride that they go on. This was a very solid episode. I liked the crime. I had this, still in my, I think this was my 10th. Like, this was in my top 10 at 10. So, like, again, like, it's a good, very solid episode.
You were the lowest on it by far, but it was
doesn't
still not
have
like
as much
low.
Comedy as some of the other ones. It's a very, very good story. This is another one of the episodes that gives us some stakes, right? Because it's the first time we're really seeing.
I mean,
Sean,
a character gets fucking shot.
Yeah.
The main character.
Not to mention, honestly, for me, sneaky best guest star of the season, Michael Worker.
Fantastic. Oh, he's so good. And everything.
And he literally gives his life for Sean. Mm-hmm. Like, he does. Yeah. He dies. He gets shot by his accomplice.
I think he's an underrated TV actor. And in movies, he's fucking fantastic.
I love Michael Worker.
So good.
Oh, National Treasure, fantastic.
Even in the Marvel universe, he's great.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go to number five here. Just missing our Mount Rushmore, which is a rock formation which they based a lot of presidents off of. That is Death is in the Air, the contagion type episode.
This is where I had it, number five.
Yeah, it's a great episode.
It's a great episode. Yep. I think this is the we get another gem in the Infinity Gauntlet of Breakfast Club stars. Judd Nelson in this episode. And I'm a sucker for a good contagion style story.
Absolutely.
With the Thornburg virus, even though that sounds like the that's
what
probably
about
the worst
Richard
part
Chamberlain?
Of the episode. It sounds so ridiculous. but it's a really solid story. I forget the what's the guy's name? The guy that loses the virus.
Oh yeah. Whatever it's
Donnie.
Yeah.
Donnie Lieberman.
He's great as a bumbling moron.
Oh, fan. He's awesome.
He's the best, yeah.
He's up there with Stuart Gimbley as like a bumbler from this season.
They do great with bumbling idiots this season. All
they really do.
But Judd Nelson's great playing like complete opposite of what you expect from him. So totally stone-faced scientist, virologist, whatever he is.
And he's the most referenced pop cultural person in the show to this point.
Yeah. And it's like movies I've never even heard of that Judd Nelson's in. But
well, they're shooting from the hip.
And a great emotional scene between Jules and Sean that really caps it. So I think number five, top five is perfect for this episode.
And the shower scene, the outdoor shower scene that Billy talked about earlier is absolutely classic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Top five scene from the season.
And they even re-referenced the cereal box top with flipping it there. Nice little analogy that I thought you know, sometimes, you know, the writing here, like we said, with the thing that you hated with the whatever the hell it was, I was a bad guy so long. I liked the flip of the cereal box top, even though it was corny. I thought it worked because it played with, like, what am I waiting for now? And then he panics, and it's a good prolonging of the couple in the classic sitcom drama that elongates it even a little more in a very natural way.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. It's not the actual extradition. It's the extradition before that.
Let's go.
I think our Mount Rushmore, besides Let's Get Harry not being in it, I think we nailed the Mount Rushmore. Extradition, British Columbia. You know, we failed, fought for the flaming baked Alaska. Big Apple McIntosh, another necessarily not bumbling idiot, but a recurring guy. He comes back at least
love one McIntosh.
More time. Big Apple. Good Henry stuff. This episode's fun.
The next time,
thanks for inviting me along. Not again. I needed your points. Yeah, but still, it's nice to be invited.
Great moment between McIntosh's supervisor when he's talking to Lassie, and he's like, "Yeah, your boss here really, really, really thinks you do some great."
Yeah, and the look on Lassie's face, and just everything about it. That's the interaction between Sean and Despero, and just, you know, when they're on the fucking the horse ride together, and Gus finally puts it together that he was supposed to go there with Abigail, and he kicks Sean off. You know, it's just the whole episode is absolutely
raccoons. Parvo might be one of my favorite things, by the way.
Isn't that the dog?
She's a golden retriever. She's dinner.
I will say, I love this episode, and to me, you know, it's the season premiere, so you take a risk. It's got to be good.
Yeah.
It has to be a good start. I mean, for me, Ghosts, I did not like Ghosts that much. Mm. That was the season three premiere. Season two, one of the best episodes of the entire show.
No doubt.
It's hit or miss. And what made American Duo so great? Their guest star, Tim Curry.
Yeah.
That's what made it great.
I think Shooter McGavin, I thought they would capitalize on it.
Right. If they miscast to Pierre Despero, this episode was doomed.
Yeah,
and the fact 100%. They were able to cast and hit on Cary Elwes like they did, perfection. Because the episode is him. I mean, it's and also the don't sleep on when Sean's like, I have a foolproof plan. Hey, Despero.
Yeah. This hot chocolate just became a write-off. Yeah.
And pizza French fries is a classic comedy trope for every time they do something skiing. Love that they worked that in.
Not to mention a brilliant twist that he's essentially a fraud. Like,
yes, that is, you're right. That is one of the best things because it comes back. And then in season eight, they even flip it one more time where he's actually like a law enforcement agent. So
great.
Well
Harry
done.
Episode.
Oh, my God.
He's doing the one move we haven't learned yet. The hard turn.
No, the slow, gentle turn. The
slow, gentle turn.
Slow, gentle turn. Yes.
Just call me the Wiz. But yeah, phenomenal episode in our Mount Rushmore. And you guys, I think, both had this at 2, I believe.
I had it at, this is my number 4, actually.
No. The next one here, number 3.
Oh,
this is criminal. High top.
This is criminal.
Out.
I had this ranked 3rd. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jake, was this your 2?
This was my 2. Yes, it was.
So this one I liked more and more on rewatch. I love this episode now. I didn't like it as much at the time, but you know, I mean,
your mama gave me that cat.
Oh my god, it's so good. He's 5'10". Man, I can talk with you. You don't ask for it. Those are voluntary. Like the church scene kills me.
Can I amen?
I gotta say,
only when appropriate.
Maybe the best theme song in the history of psych.
Oh, I would disagree. I think the Spanish one is better.
That one's good, but you got Boys to Men to actually sing it.
It's true. It is true.
Yeah. Like, Boys to Men. Yeah.
And they do the acapella of it too.
Yeah, that's which true. Is great. The great Dual stuff. Spires one is just, it's, I mean, it's fine. It's fitting for the episode, but that's definitely not the best one. The Christmas ones aren't that great. Yeah, this might be the best one.
I will say your favorite, Spanish one of your, it's so good. One of your favorite episodes, and I've always wanted to do a supercut of an open to this, the Viagra Falls one is an extended cut of the song. It's like the longest open ever. They might have needed time to fill, but that one's great too. But this episode has so much. It's a Gus-centric episode. One of the few Gus-centric episodes stuck right in there. Season 4, episode 7, Diddle. You get Gus's love interest, John Slade. he's kind of taking the forefront. And this is the Lassie Dick episode where it kind of came out of nowhere.
Right. Yeah. And so I think it was either today or yesterday I did this. I go, come on, B. And my wife goes, who's B? I go, you're B. Who's B? I just did that whole
everybody
that
but whole you. Rip.
And she's just like, you're a fucking idiot. And I just everything about this episode I absolutely love. And when they find out that Sean slept with Gus's sister, right? Oh, just to look on their faces.
They dab like, him up. They dab him up.
They dab him up. You know, I fucking love this episode.
It's one of the all-timers.
Was this the episode? What episode was it where, I know it's this season because I remember it's fresh in my brain, when it's like, You arrested both of my parents for murder on Christmas.
Yeah.
I don't know what episode was this that? One. I think
no,
it's
it is this season.
It is this season because I watched it just recently.
It is this season. I don't know if it's this episode.
Oh, no. I think it's with. I think it's the John Cena episode. I think it's the
John Cena episode. Yeah. Jules'
brother.
Because he's accusing.
You arrested both of my parents on Christmas.
On Christmas.
Yeah.
All right. And here was my numero uno.
Wow. What?
Sean gets the yips.
This was your number one?
I mean, come on, guys. You
my
had
number two.
15. You had a two, Jake.
I know I did not have a two. This was like my number
two. Doc had a two. You had it 10 points, so you had it pretty high.
I think this was an issue. I had an issue with the father's casting. I thought he was not very – I didn't think he was very good.
He wasn't good, but there's so much comedy in this
episode. There was a lot of good stuff in this.
There's so much good stuff. That them just timing themselves on the clock. Lassie being isolated, Sean saving Lassie's life. This episode has so many good comedy bits. When he calls the who he thinks the guy is trying to kill him, and he's like, "Oh, it's his wife." He's like, "I also had an uncle who died of Coriander's disease, so I know what you're feeling." Like, it's a strong episode for everyone. There's a lot of stakes in this one. I do agree the guy they cast sucks, but he's in it for a minuscule portion of it.
Yeah.
Buzzes. This is a Buzz episode where he gets blown to smithereens.
Yeah.
The classic theme song portion where he gets blown in the pool. Yeah.
Yep. So yeah, this is one of those episodes that if you ask me if I have to rattle off psych episodes, it's gonna be one of the first ones I mention. This might be the episode that got me into the show.
And by the way, if I had this 4 points lower, this was 41 points, it still would have been tied for three.
Yeah, it's such a fucking great episode. All right.
It is indeed. And now there's no like this
you
one.
You already know what it is.
Yeah, I mean, this one, I had it third just because I'm a fan of the comedy more than anybody, I think, in this group when it comes to psych. But Mr. Yin Presents, I think most people would have it as the best or the second or third best episode of psych ever up there with, you know, the other Yin ones. People love the finale. So this is an all-time episode. Mary Lightly, in half of the episode, crushes it. Even though Abigail plays a small part, it's still a good episode. Jules is great. Lassie has some moments. And to your point, Jake, the Hitchcock.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. They nailed everything. Like, I mean, this was a true, you know, homage to Hitchcock. Like, from start to finish. The way, like, the airplane scene, the rear view, the rear window stuff. I mean, everything about it, the clock tower, the music, you know, all the different shots, the cinematography. I mean, it was just Hitchcock to a T. And again, we had stakes and that breakup. Well, it's not a breakup scene, but that scene at the end between Sean and Abigail always sticks out to me. It just, I'll say it for the thousandth time, start to finish, it's a perfect episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Really is. I mean, you've got the tease that Mr. Yin is a person, like he exists. You have the yin yang thing actually means something. It's not just a clever name where it's, you know, yang had rules, yang had order. Yin does not have that. Yin is chaos. Yin is, you really can never keep up with him. And they see that in this episode. They don't really win in this episode. At best, it's a stalemate. In the first episode against Yang, they win. She gets arrested. Sean's mom is saved. This episode, Mary dies. Jules has very severe PTSD. Abigail and Sean break up. Like, there's a lot of, as we mentioned with Doc, there's a lot of stakes in this episode.
That's a great point, too. They left this season on a down note.
In shambles.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I love that. Like, I think that's what kind of draws you into the show is it doesn't always end super happy.
No, and that, I mean, just wait till season six.
Exactly. Like, even the Yin episode, like the next Yin episode, it's not tied up. Like, it's a devastating ordeal for all of them. So I think that's something that I missed in this season, that this episode kind of leaves you with like, like if I was watching this live at the time, you'd be like, holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah, and it sets up all of season five, because you've got Jules in a very different place than we've ever seen her, and it takes her a good bit before she kind of, you know, gets out of that. So it was it's a great device to setting up the next season.
Indeed, it is, and that wraps up our list. We'll recap real quick: Bollywood Homicide at 16, A Very Juliet episode at 15, Thrill Seekers and Hellraisers at 14, He Dead, which I confused with something else, at 13. You Can't Handle This episode at 12. The Devil in the Details and in the Upstairs Bedroom at 11. 10, High Noonish. 9, Let's Get Harry. Criminally Underranked, by the way. 8, yes. Think Tank. The Head, the Tail, the Whole Damn Episode at 7. Sean Takes a Shot in the Dark at 6. 5 is a Death is in the Air. 4, Extradition, British Columbia. 3, High Top, Fade Out. Sean Gets the Yips at 2. And number 1, obviously the consensus, probably a Mount Rushmore episode for all Psych fans in general, and our number 1 in season 4, Mr. Yin Presents.
Awesome. 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 Awesome stuff, Jacob.
Thank you, boys.
Thank you for coming on again, and look forward to see when we wrap up the next season, my friend.
Take it easy, boys. Have a great night.
All right, thank you too.
All right. Doc, where can the people find us?
Yeah, geez. I don't think we've ever wrapped up one of these things cleanly. So I'm going to do that. You can find us on Facebook, on the Dork Shared Gooniverse Facebook page. You can find us on Twitter at Da Pineapple Boys. You can find Billy on Twitter on one of his many Twitter handles that he's got to create because he keeps getting kicked off. Billy Yee, 2411. You can find me at Backcracka on Twitter, Twitch, and you can find everyone else in the Dork Shared Gooniverse also on our Facebook page. That's Dork, that's Mac and Goo, that's Change My Mind. There's the People's Communist Party podcast, PCP. There's my other show, TLDR. And then I'd say streamers, but none of us really stream anymore.
Mm-mm. Keith, Billy, is, the most recent streamer.
Yeah. Yeah. So until next week, come on, son.
Next week is one of your favorite episodes, by the way.
Yes. I love this episode.
It is Romeo and Juliet. I believe is the title.
Yeah. I was texting you a bunch of quotes from this last night because I was just fucking.
And I was so frazzled. I had no idea what you were talking about. So I can't wait to dig into this episode because I like it, but it's one that I rarely rewatch. I'm so excited for season 5 because there's
so many good ones.
They're all good, to be quite honest.
Because you got this, and then you've got the one that follows is with the dry drowning. Feet Don't Fail Me Now.
They're just giving them away.
Hamburgers, right? And then you've got the Fast and the Furious. I mean, it's so fucking good. So, Billy, my friend, until next week, wait for it.
Frank says hi.
And Billy's going to hit click, and we're going to wait.